From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruryak. Cole Kushner studied music in college at Sacramento State, but the podcast he launched in 2016 was a hobby. He called it Dissect, promising to walk listeners through a single album for an entire season. He listened note by note and line by line, weaving his observations into a deep, technical, and thoughtful landscape. The podcast was a hit. Dissect landed on iTunes' Best of Podcasts list and in its Editor's Choice section. So throughout this hour, you're going to hear how the podcast evolved. But let's start at the beginning. Here's Cole with us on Insight after season one had ended. Dissect had focused on rapper Kendrick Lamar and his Grammy-winning rap album, To Pimp a Butterfly.
Yeah, it ended up being 22 episodes, about 12-hour analysis overall of Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly.
Why slow down so much?
I just kind of found myself consuming more content than ever before, but also feeling a little bit that kind of that insatiable hunger, just because it was, I'm consuming it very fast. There's so much information we can just download at any time. Yeah, I was used to studying music in college in more of a long form, and I kind of missed that in my life. And there's that hole there, and I kind of wanted to figure out a way where I can still carry that long form analysis, but also be realistic about our consumption habits, which are, shorter and shorter each day. So that was the idea of a long form analysis, but 30 minute episodes.
How did the podcast happen?
I don't know, really. It just was an idea that I decided to follow. It's a little bit hazy, and I had the idea. I just kind of followed through with it finally.
You have a full-time job, though, that's not this, not music-related.
Yep.
And with your wife and daughter, is this something you have to do on weekends or at night, late at night when everyone's asleep?
Yeah, essentially when my wife works nights, so after we put our daughter to bed is usually when I go to work on it. And I'll just like to thank my wife for letting me spend way too much time on this thing. it's definitely been a big challenge in terms of the workload. Yeah, pretty rewarding.
Well, I appreciate that you said thanks to her, because it did land in Best of 2016, as I said, by iTunes. It was iTunes Editor's Choice. It was named Google's Podcast of the Week. And each episode focuses on a track of the album. This was a Grammy-winning album by Kendrick Lamar. And describe it in its opera concept album.
Yeah, I mean, I actually compare it to an opera quite a bit. It tells his story of essentially dealing with becoming famous, coming from a place like Compton and not having the right tools to deal with that fame. And he positions that story through a narrative from Caterpillar to Butterfly and his transformation to Butterfly, which is accepting a leadership role and a role model role, is kind of the conclusion of the album. And he kind of goes through ups and downs like, any good story would throughout the album. It's an incredible work. I can't say enough good things about it.
There are a couple big hits on the album. Let's focus on one of them, and it's track three. It's King Kunta.
With this particular track, you try to place it in the narrative. You know he's telling a story. After I kind of just ingest it like I would any song, I kind of start to work my way backwards and figuring out what he was trying to say and how he's advancing the story through this particular song. This song is pretty interesting. The whole album centers around a duality theme. So Caterpillar, Butterfly, temptation and leadership. And King Kunta itself, the song's title is actually a duality theme where on one hand he feels like a king because he's a successful artist and he's getting a lot of money. He contrasts that with Kunta Kinte, which is a slave character from the fictional story The Roots.
Which he grew up watching.
Exactly. And so he's feels empowered, feels like a king, but he's being controlled like a slave by the music industry, kind of getting pimped by the music industry. This is the third song on the album, so he hasn't quite figured things out yet. What's genius about it is that it also works as a single. It's a standalone track that you can listen to and still enjoy. It's not confined by the narrative.
Let's do a little dip into another song on the album.
Sure.
This is track number 7. It's called All Right. But if God got us, then we gon' be all right.
And when I wake up, I recognize you looking at me for the pay cut. Bahamas, I be looking at you from the face down. One Mac 11, even boom with the bass down. Skimming, and let me tell you about my life. Painkillers only put me in the twilight. We're pretty Benjamin is the highlight. Now tell my mama I love her, but this what I like. Lord knows, 20 of them in my Chevy. Tell them all to come and get me, reaping everything I sow. So my karma come in heaven, no preliminary hearings on my record. I'm a f***ing gangsta in silence for the record. Tell the world I know it's too late. Boys and girls, I think I've gone crazy. Trying to side my face this all day. Won't you please believe when I say, when you know we've been hurt, been down before. When our pride was low, looking at the world like, where do we go? And we hate po-po, wanna kill us dead in the street for sure. I'm at the preacher's door, my knees getting weak and my gun might blow, but we gon' be alright.
So this is actually the turning point on the album. So in the previous song, You, he has this drunken hotel meltdown where he kind of lays out his heart, depression and suicidal thoughts and survivalist guilt that he has leaving Compton. And All Right follows that directly. And he uses kind of the black community's historic oppression, but also optimism and hope in the face of that oppression as fuel for his own story.
Mm-hmm.
So the chorus of this song is, "We gonna be all right," which is actually kind of the official anthem of the Black Lives Matter movement. So it works on, you know, a cultural level, but also for his own personal journey. He's using that strength of the Black community to kind of propel him to search for that butterfly, that leadership.
Has this podcast given you some of what you were looking for, Cole?
Yeah, actually, the season finale kind of took a turn in terms of became very personal. After kind of thinking about it and writing the finale, I realized how much it changed me as a person. I kind of went in with the intention of understanding someone else and maybe more about the Black community and things that I didn't quite know about. And then I kind of came out changed, more empathetic as a person.
What about the reaction has surprised you, Cole? What did people say that you didn't expect?
Well, it was a surprise just to have an audience, to be honest. The iTunes definitely propelled it to a place that I couldn't have imagined before launching. It started out as something very personal and just something like a hobby. But I mean, I was getting emails a couple times a day from listeners with really moving stories telling me that the podcast has made them more empathetic. I had one girl said it's made her less racist. It's all very humbling, to be honest with you. I'd never intended it or expected it to resonate as much as it seems to be resonating with people. It's really humbling.
Have you seen more duality in your own self, in your life, because of focusing so much on that aspect of this music?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm a Gemini. Kendrick Lamar is a Gemini. Tupac Shakur, who actually plays a pretty pivotal role on the album, is a Gemini. So I can't help but think of that contrasting kind of duality in my own life. Even the concept of To Pimp a Butterfly, which is kind of a metaphor for using your talent for good or for evil. Are you being pimped or are you the pimp of your own life, of your own situation? It has definitely pushed me to think about those things way more than I did before. And it's almost like a reality check of your own life. You know, how are you using your life? Are you really embodying who you want to be? Are you living that narrative every single day? It has definitely forced me to think about that all the time.
Did all of what you just said about your own evolution shape what you want to do next with the podcast?
Yeah, season two is definitely going to happen long term in terms of the podcast. I don't know. I've been in bands for a long time and kind of having experienced playing music for fun and because you love it and then trying to make it a business. That's when, in terms of my personal feelings towards music, in terms of a band, kind of changed when it became a business, when it really became something I wanted to do. Mm. And it kind of took the purity out of it. So for me, having learned that lesson, I don't really want to think about the podcast in any other way than making it, you know, something that I'm passionate about creating. If something happens, something happens, but I'm not going to really waste my time thinking about it. I've learned that lesson. One thing I was trying to test with the podcast was, you know, I studied classical music in school, did very long form analysis on single pieces of work in school. And there's always kind of this division between a highbrow art and a lowbrow art, classical music versus pop music or hip hop music specifically. And I never liked that division. And they both give me the same amount of joy. They teach me things in the same way. So part of the podcast was an experiment of, hey, can we analyze a contemporary work in the same way that we would analyze a classical work? And the answer was unequivocally yes. You can't do a 12-hour, 22-episode analysis and still have more to say, which I do, without having the depth to justify an analysis like that. Don't write off music just because it's contemporary. I always joke that part of my vision for the podcast was to make my mom a fan of Kendrick Lamar. You know, she doesn't listen to hip hop, but if I can present his story in a way that's appealing to her, that resonates with her, maybe she'll listen to something that she normally wouldn't have listened to. That would prove a larger point and hopefully introduce a larger audience to a music that they would generally not listen to or write off.
And did she? Did you win her over?
I think so. It's not like she's bumping King Kunta like in her car on the way to work, but I think we have definitely talked about the podcast and she's definitely been very supportive and I think I won that battle.
And after all this, how remarkable to you is Kendrick Lamar?
It solidified my opinion about him. In my own personal opinion, I think he'll go down as the greatest rapper of all time. To Pimp a Butterfly was just archived in the Harvard Library as one of the first hip hop albums to be archived there. I think this particular work is going to be one of the hands-down greatest album of all time.
That was our first conversation with Cole Kushner, creator and host of the podcast Dissect. He joined us in February of 2017 after he had wrapped up season one, which focused on Kendrick Lamar's album To Pimp a Butterfly. We'll move to season two in just a minute. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.